All right, let's sing you a song here.
There's a light in the window, a table's red with splendor, and by the
were to sing such a song, in all probability the next Sunday the deacon would come with a song. From this church field they say you are leaving. We will not shed a tear when you go, for you step out of line once too often and offended the church member so. Oh, you said that we all should be tithers.
I got the backseat blues, and here's what gave me
on the seat towards the back. Well, now say what you will, but a face is revealed. It shows both their love and their lack. Their love and their lack is clearly revealed. For love makes you want to get closer. But when love is lacking, you'll find people backing, not wanting to be close. Oh, no, sir. Well, when people go to a big dinner spread, food of all sorts to be eaten, they're pushing and shoving to get to the front, for no one there wants to be beaten. So they fill up their plate, they pull up their chair as close as they can to the table, for they don't want to spill a thing in their lap while eating all that they are able. But when it comes to feeding the soul with the milk and the meat of God's word, why, they are content to sit close to the back where distractions often hinder what's heard. To sit in the back is to see every move of each baby, each woman, and man. Such movements that often will thunder our thoughts, taking them off of God's plan. In cafeterias or windows by groceries, they rush for the front of the line. They say, let me be first. Oh, let me up front. Yes, Lord, let me be that church time. While every seat in the church is for sitting, yet every time the church meets, God help me to love it and want to get closest as long as there's still some front seats. Now, son, as you listen, don't care for this song, for it bothers your pattern of life. But what if the way that you shun the front seat, you'd shun your husband or wife? Your love and your lack is clearly revealed, for love makes you want to get closer. But when love is lacking, you'll find yourself backing, not wanting to be close. Oh, no, sir. Deserving words upon its covers. Holy Bible doesn't mean just sacred and religious. Those words mean God-given and unchanging. Absolute authority, unquestioned, without error. But men who have Bibles quite wide-ranging. There's Salmon, Meyer, Lightfoot, Lipschitz, Berkeley, Alfred Phillips, Griffith, Weymouth, New Schofield, and R.B. Market, R.S.B., A.S.B., N.E.B., and Good News, and others yet to come, you wait and see. While most of them have likeness to the Word of God in ways, as counterfeits must be to be accepted. Since God preserved and kept His Word during still these days, all other versions ought to be rejected. The authorized King James is the Bible that you trusted, but it brought you to conviction and even saved you. It gave you life and gave you life and gave you peace in Jesus Christ. So why turn from that which God first gave you? The King James is the only Bible that's not copyrighted to require some man's permission for its use. No other Bible has brought revival nor stood the test of time in spite of much attack and great misuse. Now, and if two things differ are not that much alike, if different, then they cannot be the same. So if two things are different, one cannot be the other, regardless of the title or the name. There's Salmon, Meyer, Lightfoot, Lipschitz, Berkeley, Alfred Phillips, Griffith, Weymouth, New Schofield, and R.B. Moffitt, R.S.B., A.S.B., N.E.B., and Goodreads, but I'll say with God's word that they gave thee. Churches over the land where the members desire to vote on every change. Even to change a light bulb from a 40-watt to a 60-watt requires a business meeting, a recommendation by the deacons, and a church vote. Somebody might even object to ordering Charmin instead of Delsey without a vote. Their policy is, let the deacons have a meeting and everybody vote. Keep everybody happy and don't rock the boat. Well, that could lead to problems. I saw something strange on the way to a church one Sunday. Four billows of smoke came pouring through the front door. So I ran right up to tell the leading deacon, "Hey, something should be done, 'cause the church is on fire for sure." And he said, "That's a point well put and a timely suggestion that we'll take up at the very next meeting of the Board of Deacons just 1 week from now." I said, "You're going to wait a week and vote on it? This place will be burned to ashes." He said, "Well, I don't know why, but that's the way we do it. And furthermore, that's the way we've always done it. That's our custom and traditional policy." Well, I went to attend the very same church the next Sunday. They were meeting in a tent bought and paid for by the building fund. So I rushed right in to tell the congregation, "Hey, there's a tornado coming. Everybody better run." And they said, "That's a point well put and a timely suggestion. We'll take up at the very next meeting of the Board of Deacons just 1 week from now." I said, "You're going to wait a week and vote on whether to run by this way. Don't know why, but that's the way we do it. And furthermore, that's the way we've always done it. That's our custom and traditional policy." So I attended their open-air meeting the very next Sunday. When the trumpet blew and the clouds were rolled away, and as I began to rise, I shouted back down to the congregation, "Hey, lift up your head, the Lord has come today." And they said, "That's a point well put and a timely suggestion that we'll take up at the very next meeting of the Board of Deacons just 1 week from now." I said, "You're going to wait a week and vote on whether to go when the Lord comes?" They said, "Well, I don't know why, but that's the way we do it. And furthermore, that's the way we've always done it. So that's our custom and traditional policy." I said, "What kind of church is this I've been attending anyway?" And he didn't want any ripples, and so we voted and voted and voted till we finally named this church a name that nobody's offended. For the name, we're the First Nazareno Baptist Hospital, Seventh-day Orthodox Luciferian, Mormon Witnesses Non-Denominational Church. I'm We wrote it all down on a prospect card. Everybody ought to go fishing now. Everybody ought to go visiting. Everybody ought to, but they don't know how. So we had a finish, we had a school. We gave them lots of drinks and food. Ducks and sharks and a book by house. Now they know how, but they still won't try. Everybody ought to go visiting. Everybody ought to go out and find. Everybody ought to go visiting, but nobody will, and they don't know why. So we have a supper, we have a plan, cause we gotta motivate them any way we can. We eat before we go, we eat when we return. Now here's a visitation, we get our fun. Everybody ought to go visiting. Everybody ought to go get in their car. Everybody ought to go visiting. We gotta get the gospel where the people are. Sunday school every Sunday for a year and a Sunday school team. But there's a fine line between got too long for my coat. It hung all the way to the floor. I had not missed a Sunday in 43. Next Sunday would have been 44. It began on the morn of the day that I was born, when the cradle roll added full of home just was fine. 40 years without missing a single. The fear of missing made me awfully nervous, but it stopped short when I fell and broke my skin, when I tripped on my Sunday school pen. As for me, I'm in trouble, Lord. That has power, that is in there. He's got the hand that has great power, that is a tender. I've found me in trouble, that person nailed to a fool. The tender, I can't be, and when troubles have failed, his hand will help you reach out, touch the hand. The lungs would all make up, and the old dry bones would all shake up. Now, what an army that would, the gossipers would all hush up, then the lazy ones would all, the servants would all rush up. all dress up, and not a one would ever mess up. If all this world would get busy and get prayed up, we'd have a revival stirring us up. The sky above would soon clear up, and gone would be our every bird. But their coming is a joke. They really don't seem to care to be with God's people, but I guess they feel religious when they walk beneath the steeple. Some come to church just to listen to the singing, more for the music than the message and the meaning. Some come to church just to keep from being idle, but thank God for those who come to learn from the Bible. Some little girls seem to come just to wiggle. Some a little older seem to come to life and giggle. They compete for attention and the preacher's never heard. So thank God for those who come to hear God's word. Some come because they want to get in on the fun. Some come to ride a bus and get some bubble gum, to sit and make a racket with their feet up on the floor. So thank God for those who come to really know the Lord. Now some young folks come a sweetheart to meet. Others come to plant a water drum beneath their seat. Some come because they couldn't go to the beach. But thank God for those who want to hear the preacher preach. Some come because their parents make them come with them. Then they sit and bat and cut up during the invitational hymn. Some come to catch a nap and sit and sleep and nod. But thank God for those who come to hear the word of God. Some come because they think that everybody ought. Some come to show off new clothes that they bought. Some come for reasons unbelievable and odd. But I thank God for those who come to hear the word of God. Now folks come to church, as you see, for many reasons. No matter what the time of year, the weather, or the season. But no matter why you come, the truth still remains. It only pleases God when the love of Christ constrains.
Tiny little hand round the finger so tight. Tiny little hand round the finger so tight. Tiny little hand round the finger so tight. Brought a lot of joy to a mother one night. Brought a lot of joy. One night, back
dear listener, to say the least, I think you're in for a different experience in church music. Music and singing, alive, Latin lively, Evangelist Harold Lee, welcoming you to hear this tape as now we continue with recordings direct from Revival Services.
To bless you tonight, and I'm expecting a blessing. Are you expecting a blessing? I sure am. I've asked one of my favorite preachers to preach to me tonight. I'll tell you, the first time I heard him preach, I said, my, that's good. And then I had him to come and preach to us here in a meeting, and I said, that's getting better. And the more I've listened, the more I've enjoyed, and I thank God for Brother Harold Leek and the messages that he preaches, because he preaches the Word. And so we're looking forward to it. I ask him to come and just do it. Just sing to us and preach to us and have himself a good time, and we're bound to enjoy it. So, Brother Harold Leek, it's good to have you with us, brother. Lord bless you.
Thank you, Pastor. I'm really glad to be here. Glad indeed to have this opportunity. This coming Wednesday night, I believe I'm correct, there's a business meeting here. This is a Baptist church, and a business meeting in a Baptist church here is different from what some of you were raised in, I'm sure. This is the only church I know of where you can go to a business meeting and have a revival, right in the midst of a business meeting. So many times a business meeting at a Baptist church means a riot instead of a revival. And so many folks, when they announce business meeting, they get tense and nervous and frustrated. And those who hadn't been to church in months say, well, I'm going and watch the fur fly when the deacons furnish it. And, you know, it's so good to know that God's people trust their leadership. Well, that's the way God intended it to be. But some Baptist churches, no, 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 no. If we have a business meeting, Pastor, that means every dime that is spent, we get to vote on it. Yes, sir? If a light bulb burns out, let's vote on whether to put a 75 or 100 watt bulb in there. If the teacher runs out, let's vote on Charmin or Delta. I mean, really? You think I'm joking, but there are churches that vote on everything. They want to keep down everybody's feelings. Well, that could lead to problems. Well, I saw something strange on the way to a church one Sunday. Four billows of smoke came pouring through the front door. I ran right up to tell the leading deacon something should be done, for the church is on fire for sure. And he said, that's the point well put, and a timely suggestion that we'll take up at the very next meeting of the Board of Deacons just 1 week from now. I said, you're going to wait a week and vote on it? This place will be burned to ashes. He said, well, I don't know why, but that's the way we do it. And furthermore, that's the way we've always done it. That's our custom and traditional policy. Well, I went to attend the very same church the next Sunday. They were meeting in a tent bought and paid for by the building fund. I rushed right in to tell the congregation, hey, there's a tornado coming, everybody better run. And they said, that's a point well put and a timely suggestion that we'll take up at the very next meeting of the Board of Deacons just 1 week from now. I said, you're going to wait a week while this place will be bought off the map. They said, well, I don't know why, but that's the way we do it. And furthermore, that's the way we've always done it. That's our custom and traditional policy. Well, I attended their open-air meeting the very next Sunday. When the trumpets blew and the clouds were rolled away, and as I began to rise, I shouted back down to the congregation, hey, lift up your heads, the Lord has come today. And they said, that's a point well put and a timely suggestion that we'll take up at the very next meeting of the Board of Deacons just 1 week from now. I said, the Lord's come, idiots. You're going to wait and vote on whether to go with them or not?
They said, I don't know why, but that's the way we do it. And furthermore, that's the way we've always done it. That's our custom and traditional policy. We don't want nobody's feelings hurt, so we vote on everything, even voted on naming the church, and it took a while. For we're the First Nazarenes, Pentecostal, Seventh-day Orthodox, Lutheran, Mormon, Witnesses, non-denominational church. I said, that figures. That figures.
I write a lot of songs that I sing, but that's because no one else cares to sing them. But for that reason, they're my favorites. And so I usually give you something you never have heard before, and something you songs that I sing for that cause no one else cares to sing them. But for that reason, they're my favorites. And so I usually give you something you never have heard before and something you never want to hear again. But something that ought to be run through your head one time in your life just to see what you've been missing. And different things give me ideas for songs, such as your pastor made a statement yesterday morning, you might have remembered, about folks who rob God without a gun, just withhold the tithes and offerings. And you know, there are a lot of folks that are guilty of just such. Did you ever hear this song? Huh? What is that, huh? Pop goes the weasel. I never have figured out pop. I never did figure that out. I don't think that song makes sense, but mine does. I wrote one, plop goes the skin film, instead of pop goes the weasel. I don't know what pop goes the weasel means, but I know what a skin so what pop is. Well, a lot of Baptists have no joy because they're not right with God. But those who have the least of all are penny-peaking tightwads. Of course they have money for everything except the church and missions, while looking for happiness everywhere for souls. They have no vision for the dog and cat. There's much expense for the vest and food and flea collar. But to keep a missionary on the bill, plop goes the dollar. You spend $80 for the electric bill, $40 for the phone and water. But when the offering plate comes around, plop goes the quarter. $500 on a color TV, that's $50 a month on time. But once a week in the house of God, you sacrifice a dime. You spend $200 for Christmas gifts, well, $300, $400, dolls and toys and bikes. But when the usher passes the plate, plop goes the nickel. $6 for a seat at the old ballpark, the games you don't want to miss any. But in church, you nearly tear your pockets out while digging down for that penny. A lot of Baptists have no joy because they're not right with God. But those who have the least of all are penny-peeping tithes. That ought to get us off to a real good start. That separates the men from the body. Please be merciful to me, will you? No ripe tomatoes this time of year, are there? Why are you here? Do you believe it's right to go to church? You mean, no matter why you go? As a traveler over the country, I meet a lot of folks. They come to church on Sunday, but their coming is a joke. They really don't seem to care to be with God's people. But I guess they feel religious when they walk beneath the steeple. Some come to church just to listen to the singing, more for the music than the message and the meaning. Some come to church just to keep from being idle. But thank God for those who come to learn from the Bible. I got two amens. Hey. Some little girls seem to come just to wiggle. Some a little older seem to come to laugh and giggle. They compete for attention and the preacher's never heard. But thank God for those who come to hear God's word. Some come because they want to get in on the fun. Some come to ride a bus and get some bubble gum. They sit and make a racket with their feet up on the floor. But thank God for those who come to really know the Lord. Hey, man, I'm picking up tomatoes.
amen says a go, I'm going to sing another one. Well, some young folks come a sweetheart to meet. Others come to plant a lot of gum beneath the sea. Some come because they couldn't go to the beach. The thank God for those who want to hear the preacher preach. Cause the parents make them come with them. Sitting back and cut up during the invitational hymn. Some come to catch a nap and sit and sleep and nod. But thank God for those who come to hear the word of God. I know you'll say amen to that one, amen. All right. Some come because they think that everybody ought. Some come to show off, and those come for reasons unbelievable and odd. But thank God for those who come to hear the word of God. Now folks come to church, as you see, for many reasons. No matter what the time of year, the weather, or the season. But no matter why you come, the truth still remains. It only pleases God when the love of Christ is. Now, that's really why you ought to be here. How many of you are here tonight because you're... I hope you're here to feed on God's word. Well, let's see. Maybe some notable personality interview. There are certain programs that interview those who are famous. 15 years from now, how old will you be? Oh, real old. 15 years from now, you may be watching a television program, and some interviewer will say, I understand, sir, speaking to him, I understand that you are the most violent criminal that this world has ever known. Oh, yeah, that's right. I understand you've killed 722 people.
Yes.
I understand that you've robbed 4,018 banks.
Oh, yes.
I understand that you have, and down the list of crimes, the interviewer may go. And the man will agree, I've done all of that. In fact, he's the world's greatest criminal. The interviewer may say, where did you learn to commit so many crimes? That man may say, well, you want me to be honest?
Yes, I want you to be honest this time.
I learned to commit so many crimes was, once I belong to the young, and the rest is much since then I've seen the guiding light. Now with happy days, there's a family view, and I often am seeing the edge of my. The days of our lives are like a newly wed game. The price is right, and it's all in the family, and the doctors all say that I'm going insane. All of my children are bewitched by TV with Barbara Walters and Walter Cronkite. So with that odd couple, I'll search for tomorrow in General Hospital, where there's love of life. It seems Lion's Hope has to be Hogan's hero, and Mike Douglas' concentration to tell the truth. If my three sons tell Archie, he'll tell Andy Griffith, and Gomer Pyle on Gilligan Island will know I love Lucy. As the world turns like the wheel of fortune, the days of our lives are like a newlywed game. The price is right, and it's all in the family, and the doctors all say, yep, and I know too that stuff will drive you insane.
Don't look so guilty.
I think you are. Ah, well, I see. Being when their program is named, and then they punch somebody whenever theirs is named, and on and on it goes. But you know, dangerous place to spend a lot of idle time. Indeed it is. The Lord's given us so much better to do if we're S-A-V-E-D. What does that spell? Get loud with it. What about H-A-P-P-Y? That's not loud. What about S-I-N? You're still just breathing it out. F-R-E-E. Free! How about that, huh? How about G-L-O-R-Y? Nobody would ever accuse you of being careful. Glory.
How about glory? Let me just sing it. Well, it's G-L-O-R-Y, so no, I'm S-A-V-E-D. I'll make J-P-P-Y because I'm F-R-E-E. I once was B-O-U-N-D with a change of S-I-N. It's V-I-C-T-O-R-Y, so no, Christ lives within. I know some members of the church as lazy as can be. On Sunday morning, they will lay at home in B-E-D. And on Sunday night, they claim that they must get R-E-S-T. And still they've got the nerve to claim their S-A-V-E-D. I've seen some boys wear backpacks of their S-M-O-K-E. While others chew and spit their filthy J-U-I-C-E. They play their cards and drink their beer and shoot D-I-C-E. Still they've got the nerve to claim their S-A-V-E-D. I know some folks that God has blessed with a real good J-O-B, a salary and a regular I-N-C-O-N-E, but still they never give the Lord his T-I-T-A-E, and still they've got the correct claim, they're S-A-V-E-D. Oh, it's G-L-O-R-Y, so know that I'm S-A-V-E-D. I'm H-A-P-P-Y because I'm F-R-E-E. I want to speak for you in deep with the chains of S-I-N. It's B-I-C-T-O-R-Y, so no Christ lives within. I know a man who struts around the P-O-W-N. He drinks his beer and whiskey, and he serves his G-I-N. He helps to put the poison in his neighbor's C-U-P. But still he's got the brass to claim that he's S-A-V-E-D. Some girls hardly ever wear a D-R-E-S-S. Instead they wear their breeches or their P-A-N-T-S. They do not dress to please the Lord, it's very plain to see. And still they've got the nerve to claim that they're S-A-V-E-D. Some call it rock music, and yet we know full well such sounds and words must be inspired by the D-E-V-I-L-T-A-N-C-E. You know it's not for anyone that's S-A-V-E-D. Oh, well, it's G-L-O-R-Y-K-O-A-V-E-D. I'm H-A-V-E-Y because I'm F-R-E-E. I once was B-O-U-N-D with a change of S-I-N. It's B-I-C-T-O-R-Y, so no Christ lives within.
Look at me like a frog in a rainstorm. You know what I was.
And anybody sleepy? Huh? Anybody sleepy? All wide awake and alert? Well, that's good. That's good. Because you won't feel as though I'm singing personally to you. I want to share a song that could often be sung from the pulpit and be very applicable. And even in the midst of a sermon, a pastor may be tempted to stop preaching and start singing according to the inspiration that he gets from the audience. Here's a song that a pastor, even our pastor, may want to sing sometime.
Beautiful dreamer, awake unto me. I'm talking to you there on pew number 3. Sleeping in church is wrong for a deacon, especially while I am up here a-preaching. Oh, beautiful dreamer, don't start to snore. I've covered 4 more. So if you'll excuse me, I'll go ahead. But next Sunday, if I don't, you stay home in bed.
Beautiful
dreamer, please wake up and see.
Listen, fellas, you're stealing
the
thunder, huh?
Yeah. Beautiful dreamer, please wake up and see that what you are doing should never happen to me. The pianist is yawning, but I dare not correct him, for so are all the deacons and the music director. Oh, beautiful dreamer, things could get worse, for deacon rotates. So sleep on and dream, sir, and have no fear, and I'll see
Well, let me tell you something. If a pastor dared to sing to some sleepy-eyed deacon would wake up in the Sunday afternoon and long enough to write him a song, dedicating it to the pastor. He would come back Sunday night and insist on equal time. Pastor, dedicated to you from that deacon you sung to this morning, here's your song. From this church field, they say, you are leaving. We will not shed one tear when you go, for you stepped at once too often, and you offended your church members so. Well, now you said that we all should be tithers, but when you said it, you looked straight at me, and from that point till today, because I'm saved by grace, and that's free, and you told us to visit our neighbors, and to give them the gospel so true, but we have not spoken once to our neighbor since July of 1972. Well, now it isn't that we do not admire you, cause you're a good at gold, but you must learn to stick to the gospel and to stay off your church members' toes. Yeah, that's what they want. More truth than humor in the song, but, you know, a lot of things are rather funny and absurd and ridiculous. They're so sinful, they're comical, aren't they, huh?
Right. How many husbands and wife is here with you? Let's see. Hold your hand up if you're not ashamed. Anything. All right, very good. Do you love your wife? Hold your hand up if you love your wife, huh? Yeah, I better get mine up. All right. Question. The more you love her, the further you want to get away from her, right? Huh? Not hardly, he said. The more you love her, then the closer you'd rather be, huh? Well, this song sort of uses that in comparison with something else that's very common. And I wrote a song last September, and I have been looking for a church to sing it to. And I have found that church. And not all of you now, but some of you in this church give me the blues. What kind of blues? I got the backseat blues. I got the backseat blues. And here's what gave me those backseat blues. You know what gave them to me? When people go to a sporting event, whether a pauper or king, they do all they can to sit close as they can, not wanting to miss a thing. But isn't it strange when they come to God's house, they choose all the seats towards the back? Say what you will, but a truth is revealed. It shows both their love and their lack. You're glad you're on the front seat tonight, aren't you, buddy?
Yeah.
Amen. This one night I won't sing to you, isn't it, huh? Their love and their lack is clearly revealed, for love makes you want to get closer. But when love is lacking, you'll find people backing, not wanting to get close, oh no, sir. When people go to a big dinner spread, food of all sorts to be eaten, there's pushing and shoving to get to the front, for no one there wants to be beaten. They fill up their plate and they pull up their chair as close as they can to the table. They don't want to spill a thing in their lap while eating all that they are able. But when it comes to feeding the soul with the milk and the meat of God's word, they are content to sit close to the back where distraction. Well, here come the saints. Amen. That's pretty good singing, isn't it? That's pretty good singing. I've seen a couple of the front right in the middle of the song. They got on those conviction verses. Maybe we'll get some more to move up. Amen. But when it comes to feeding the soul with the milk and the meat of God's word,
They are content to sit close to the back by distractions of tender God's word. To sit in the back is to see every move of each baby, each woman and man. Such movements that often will capture our thoughts, taking them off of God's plan. In cafeterias or when folks buy groceries, they rush for the front of the line. You're foolish. Let me be first, oh let me be up front, yes Lord, let me be that church kind. While every seat in the church is forsaken, yet every time the church meets, God help me to love him and want to get closer, as long as there's still some front seats. And I see a few. Now some as you listen don't care for this song, I don't care, for it bothers your pattern of life. But what if the way that you shun the front seat, you shun your husband or wife? Your love and your lack is clearly revealed, for love makes you want to get closer. But when love is lacking, you'll find yourself backing, not wanting to be close. Oh, no, sir.
Well, I said it, I'm glad.
Hey.
Now, that was overdue, wasn't it, preacher? Yeah, he never would have got up enough courage or had enough boldness or whatever it takes to sing it. And I'm leaving him today, too, so it didn't matter that much to me. But anyway, that I wanted to share.
Here. Yeah. I'll ask you a question. What's better than this? Where's better than being here?
Well, heaven is better than this. Praise God, what glory and bliss. Walking on the streets as pure as gold. In that land where we'll never go. Oh, heaven. It's better than this. Praise God, what glory and bliss. I like Holy Ghost meetings down here, but heaven is better than this.
You believe that? Well, I appreciate all nine of you. Now, what does the rest of you believe? Have you forgot how to say amen since that amen sermon I preached here last year, huh? I say,
heaven is better than this. Oh, praise God, what glory and bliss. Walking on the streets of pure as gold. In that land where we'll never go. Oh, heaven is better than this. Praise God, what glory and bliss. I like Holy Ghost meetings down here, but heaven is better than this.
Oh. Pastor, I'll get to you after your services, but the people come by and shake your hand and say, back yonder, back there, all right. And folks come by real nice like and real polite like, shake your hand and say, oh, that really touched my heart. That was a great. They ever do that? You don't believe it, though, do you? I mean, be smart, man. Everybody shakes your hand and says that don't mean that. They're just finding some way to pull it. This is called the 5 minutes after 12 song. It's applicable to those who want the service to be through by 11:15. They want to be out that door by 5 after 12 on Sunday morning. And, of course, they come by. Well, it's now 5 minutes after 12, the benediction for the pastor shaking hands with folks as they go out the door. They compliment his message and try to look sincere. But what they're really thinking is not what the pastor hears. But have you ever wondered what's really on their mind? If you could read their thoughts, you'd be surprised at what you. They act as though the service has really touched their heart. But here's what some are thinking, as from church they do. I'm dashing through the door to make my getaway. The service now is over. The sermon was okay, but now to spend the rest of the day sitting there by my bookcase to watch the Falcons play. Oh, now in that ball, throw that pass, get that old tight end. They work the good last thing. They run it once again. That's hard to take our quarterback. They're coming through and blitzing through that four-time defense back.
You like that?
There you like it.
And you thought they were sick?
Yeah. They want to get out there and get a kickoff. That's what they want. Not everybody feels like that, do you, ladies?
No.
So if you go out the door, it's more like this. The sermon was so deep, I think I fell asleep. As he told about God, my head began to nod. My body's finally free, and I know what I'll do. Cause I can sleep much better there than sitting on that pew. I'll fall in bed and cover my head and sleep the day.
Yes, I'm over here. What's on their mind?
Well, the sermon was a bore. I've had it finally more. I gotta get through this trial. I've heard my stomach growl. So to the restaurant I can go. If I'm not sick and served, they said it breaks upon my nerves. Oh, it's so good. All I care to eat. There's seven different vegetables, and look at all of that meat. The salad bar is dressed by far and filled upon dessert. Man, I get done. I think I'm going to be eating a full supper.
Yeah, you know you better plead guilty while you're here. Can I sing one more? I was going to anyway. I just want to know if you want to vote on it. This song tells why churches don't go rapping as the Lord will be pleased. One planet. Babies in the church. That tender church is more than 50-year-old babies. Have to have their spiritual diapers changed every now and then. And you got to keep a little old sugar pacifier in their mouth to keep them. Well, here's the problem. Churches have their problem. You're aware of this, no doubt. But have you ever really tried to consider what the main problem all about? Don't blame the preacher, don't blame the deacon, don't blame the people in the pew. But could it be maybe that so many church babies sing this song when there is something to do? They sing, I just can't tell if that dog is true. Don't ask me to cry. Get somebody else and let me sit here on the shelf and collect a lot of dust till I die. I do my work through the week. I'm not aware of the job that I see. Now someone is needed in the nursery to care for the little girls and boys, so the preaching of the word won't be distracted by all that unnecessary noise. The useless opportunity to serve. But in a whining song, he begins to moan. And she uses the excuse of her nerves as she sings. I just can't do it. That dog is just stupid. Don't ask me to. I can listen to the television all week long, but I can't stand to hear a baby cry. I increase my giving on him. And the services are never sure. But please don't get me back down that old nursery. All we do is in the world. Well, a family moved away just a week ago today. And in the choir they left an empty space. So you caught up a sister or a brother who'll stand up there and sing and fill their place. But you don't follow till you hear this song. From three or four or five, you know it's a mighty good thing. They think they're saved by grace, cause their works would never get them into heaven as it seems. It just can't do it, and now just do it. Now, don't ask me to now do most anything, but don't ask me to sing or standing up there in the choir. I can sing 4 hours in the shower, and it sounds pretty good just to me. But I can't get loud. Think it's a crowd. Can't do it, don't you see? Well, the junior girl teacher telephones the preacher Sunday morning and she tells him she's sick. Now the preacher's way behind and it's open in the back to find a substitute quick. So he tries to get a sister, even tries to get a mister to take the class just for this time. But when he asks for help, oh, they both begin to yell. And here's a little song that they whine. They say, I just do it. That's all that we're doing. Now, don't ask me to cry. You see, I don't know the Bible, and I'm afraid I'm not. You probably have a heart attack. I'll thank you for calling, but I ain't good at calling. Well, that is except on the telephone. It's the same old story all the way from earth to glory. When you need them, they'll sing this little song. They'll sing, I just can't do it. That's all you can do it. Now don't ask me to try. So get somebody else and let me sit here on the shelf and
praise God for those that'll say, well, I think I can do it. If you just point me to it, I'd be so glad to try. You see, I want to please my Lord and get a reward when I see him in the sweet by and by. Let him do all things good, right, pleasure, and in this space. So if there's something to do, I promise you, I'll be glad to do it. Amen. God, give us some more of that time.
I love God's word. We love God trusting in the promises I found in God's word. Then I wanted to learn more about God's word, and I obtained the Bible. And I appreciate the efforts of men to get together some of the scriptures and make it easier for us to study by their references and so forth. But I was really amazed as I began to look how many words in the Bible could be omitted. And I figured, well, now this Bible is so thick, and so many words, I could read it quick if I'd take out all those words that are supposed to be a myth. That is, these so-called Greek scholars that say so, you know. And I wondered if they should be omitted, why would God make the mistake of putting. And you'll find that sometimes even learned men, and men that really, I think, some offer helps, but it can be sort of confusing. And so I decided I'd take all the words out of the Bible that should be omitted and see if they'd rhyme and make a song about them. I started to write a song about all the words in the old King James that God would show me should be omitted. But when I started the song, I didn't write very long. Till God showed me it's all His Word. So then I quitted and didn't take long to write that song. And God showed me that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, and that God has preserved every word. I said, why make a foolish song?
Hello, neighbor. This is Evangelist Harold Leek speaking.
Now if you're talking about old time religion, then I know what you're talking about the peace that comforts you in sorrow, and in your trouble he gives you a shout. I mean the kind that'll make you love your pastor when the devil would say kick him out. Yeah, if you're talking about that kind of salvation, then I don't know what you're talking about. What do you like to talk about? Ladies, do you ever spend as much as 30 minutes on a telephone? 30 minutes? Hour and a half? Be more like it, preacher. Do you talk about the Lord or do you talk about church members? And do you talk about other women? And, I mean, oh, listen, there's so many good things to talk about. Why do they talk about so much over there? Well, here's a song that doesn't have any music. I guess, you know, that's sort of funny song. The song don't have any music, but did you ever hear singers get up and, I mean, have good musicians, but to introduce the song, they'd say, now, I want you to listen to the words. Don't listen to the music, just listen to the words. This song has a good meaning, so just listen to the words and don't listen to the music. You ever heard somebody tell you to do that, and then they play the music right along? If you ain't supposed to listen to music, why even play the music? Why not just give the words? Well, I think I know what they mean, but I decided, well, maybe that would be a good idea. In the key of F, with no music. No music? Then why in the key of F? After I get into it, you'll know why it's got to be in the key of F. Nothing else will do. It's got to be in the key of F. How many of you ever heard about the prodigal son? You ever heard about that, huh? But have you ever heard the story of F? Healing pulled loose and fancy free, a feather-brained fella faced his fond father, a farmer, to figure and find a fast way to get his father to fork over the family finances. He then fled afar the farm to foreign fields and traded his fortune, feasting fabulously and following fun and foolishness with his faithless friend. Finally forlorn and for sure forsaken by friends since folly had finished his finances, he found a farm fellow who forced him to be a feed cleaner to filthy swine in the farmyard. Finally he saith to it, "My father's flock is fed far more food than I find, and fare far fancier." So, forsaking fake friends and folly, he pursued, fled that farm for to find his fond faithful father. And he saith, "Father, I have flunked. I have foolishly flung away my fortune and forfeited the family's favor." However, the fine faithful farmer fell on his fuzzy neck with an affectionate kiss on his face and said, "Fit his filthy feet with the finest and find the best. Fetch the fattest fatling from feeding, and we shall feed and frolic frivolously till feel full. For of a fine fair son, though he foolishly followed the folly of flesh and failed, did flee and forsake to come forward forcefully from his family, and is now free from his fetters, bound and forgiven." You know why it had to be in the key of F, don't you? Yeah. Had to be in the key of F. Well, some of you really do look better smiling than you do that other way. I mean, there's one poor woman here, if she dies like she lives, it'll take all her insurance money to fix her fit to bury. And her husband won't have enough insurance money left to get married again on. So, you know, I mean, really, ladies, smiling is faith. I mean, it doesn't take near as much topsoil to cover up the dishes. If you'll smile once in a while, put Max Factor out of business. Well, let's see now. That's just egotism. This is the hymn of the Baptist egotist. Do you know, folks, know what an egotist is, or shall we ask your pastor? You tell him what an egotist is. Maybe he are one. I don't know. An egotist is a fellow who thinks more highly of himself than he ought. I mean, he just insists. I'm all of it wrapped up in one package. He thinks he's the biggest dog on the tack and the biggest fish in the pond, and he just thinks, how in the... An egotist is a fellow that walks in the door and says, "Now y'all can begin, I'm arrived." I mean, an egotist, and a lot of them are in Baptist churches, a spiritual millionaire, when really, they're so full of pride, if you stuck them with a pen, they'd bust. I mean, just bloated with pride. And you never would get one of them to admit it. So, since they won't admit it, I'm going to make an admission for that kind of character, and most every church got one. They got a fella or a lady that thinks that they're really singing a solo and would sing an honest song. Here's what it would say. "Oh, Lord, my God, I'm sure folks have done wonders considering all the good works I have done. How I'm so great and how I stay so humble while I'm so smart. Then sings my soul in great humility, how great I am, how great I am. Then sings my soul in great humility, how great I am, how great I am. Within my church, I'm often made to wonder why others are not as spiritual as I. I do so well, I never make a blunder, yet they all goof up most every time they try. And within the choir and through the congregation, they all must wish that they had a voice like mine. And till they see that I am humble with it, I've let them know that I'm not the bragging kind. And I make sure, Lord, that the ushers see me giving, and
the way they smile, oh, they must be proud of it. And if I should stop putting in my weekly dollar, the church would probably have to hold up and quit. So sings my soul in great humility. How great I am, how great I am. How can the folks all help but notice me? How great I am, how great I am. If they'd just listen to the Lord, he'd tell them they're just a big made-over mess. Amen. I tell you, well, that's awful. I got to do another just to sort of get you out of that one. And I don't know, got so many here to do, I don't know what to do. Well, when I was a little boy, every once in a while, I'd see something. I'd tell Mama about it. She'd say, no, Harold, that's not what you saw. I said, I saw it.
She said, Harold,
the things ain't always like they look like they are. I mean, sometimes, you know, I'd come home from school at night, walking down that long green, tigers and leopards and elephants and all kind of boogers along the highway on that. And I'd get home and I'd say, Mama, I just saw a big old tiger or a wildcat. Oh, hell. Then a little later on, I began to hear some things, and I'd tell Mama, Mama, did you know? She'd say, son, you can't believe everything you hear. Not necessarily. Like it appears to be.